Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
From Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will be entertained.
Welcome to the Strange Chameleon Show.
Welcome.
Oh my goodness. We have a very special guest for you all.
We are going back to the beginning. And in the studio today, we have our original first-time guest, Jennifer Kramer.
Jennifer Kramer.
Thank you for having me again. You guys are so much fun.
Well, thank you for being here. And if people aren't aware, you are the youngest daughter of Stanley Kramer.
Yes.
Legendary director, producer.
By the way, most people don't know I exist.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. It is kind of, actually. But yes, I'm the youngest. My siblings, my oldest sibling, Kat, has done LA Talk Radio many, many times and is very out there socially in the industry, and so is my mother. And for a lot of that time, I was either back east in school or, just kind of forging my own path with my own interests, even though they do include, I had the classical acting training. I went to a conservatory, and so I do have interest in the film industry, but I also have other interests besides that, or that are very much my own. So I say that with humor that nobody knows who I am, because I mean they don't actually, because I spend so much time at home, because I'm a musician practicing. It takes so much commitment. It takes like 8 hours a day of practicing to perform at a high level, and so. But I'm coming out there now.
Yeah, and we're very excited about it.
Yes, thank you.
And the world is going to be excited about it, too.
Oh, I hope so.
We have a very special intro for you. Can I play it?
Oh, God, I'm scared. No, okay. No, go ahead. Oh, my goodness.
Jennifer
Kramer.
Wow. Thank you. I love your little touches, I love that. They're so unique.
Yeah, we're supposed to do that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smithers.
But I talked too much, which is so you couldn't get to
No.
It.
Okay. No.
No, I'm just too slow.
Okay. Yeah.
No problem. I find that hard to believe, though, Patrick. You seem pretty quick to me.
Oh, thank you.
Watch out. But how was your week, Chameleon, by the way?
My week was great. Yeah, I mean, not too long ago, I think just yesterday, that was just not too long ago, just yesterday, and did a little hiking, with my pops.
That's right.
Did a little hike.
Where did you guys go?
Oh, I have no idea. No, it was somewhere out, it was like, what was it, San Gabriel Peak, over there, San Gabriel Peak.
Yeah.
And then we went to... I don't know. I think it was Mount Depression or something like that. It was called something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Something sad.
Yeah, something sad. A bunch of sad names over there.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Good for Halloween, maybe. It sounds a little...
Well, we hiked up and, had to wait for him a few times. He's getting older.
Right.
And so, which is fine. I mean, I was in no rush. So I just kind of did whatever. And he hiked and...
Yeah.
Mount Disappointment.
That's
what it's called.
I remember.
Yep. And then we went to the luggage room. You ever been to the luggage room?
No. Gosh, you're educating me.
It's where they used to store all the luggage.
Really?
Well, no, actually, back in the day, a long time ago, over in Pasadena is where the train, I guess, used to go at this one spot. It's between Raymond Avenue and Del Mar at Road.
Oh, wow.
and in Pasadena, and they made it into a pizza joint. But that's where they used to stop, and then people would go and, you know, take their luggage out and chill over there. I don't know if there was something over there. There was, like, cafes and other stuff, but they just made that whole place into a pizza joint. It was pretty good.
Yum, yum.
What about yours?
Well, it was pretty relaxing, actually, and I had some time to, well, continue with my writing, like I mentioned to you, Jennifer, and so that was good. But now on Wednesday, I did some grocery shopping, and Chameleon here, he's a very busy chameleon, so I agreed to go ahead and get some beer for him.
Okay.
Like,
what are you doing?
I'm setting up.
Chameleon, you're being so distracting right now. Anyways.
Sorry.
So.
Which I appreciate. Thank you for giving me that beer.
Yeah. So I got some groceries and I got some Heineken. It's it's your favorite.
It is my favorite.
That's your favorite.
I love the Heine.
Now, so I typically, I don't drink beer. And I hardly ever drink wine. And so I'm there, and the guy, you know, he asked for my ID, handed out to him. And, you know, as a woman, you don't really want to talk about your age. You know what I mean? Right. So I hand him my ID. He looks at it, and he hands it back. I'm like, okay, no, thank you. And then he goes, 88. Yeah, I'm from that year, too. And I'm just like...
You mean shouting it everywhere?
Yeah, just kind of, you know. And, he kept going along with it. And I'm just like, excuse me. I told him, excuse me. Could you please not disclose my private information? And he immediately apologized, which I'm glad.
Right.
And he's like, okay, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to make small talk.
Yeah.
And see, that is the problem with small talk.
Right.
It is just so dumb. And you don't really know what you're saying, you know? It's just a simple, I'm an 80s kid too, or something would have just sufficed.
Yeah, that would have been better, for sure.
It's like, just stop right there. Stop getting into specifics, damn it.
Maybe people are so used to Facebook and everything that everybody puts out there all the time, they don't think anything of it.
That could be, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
But you know, it's just like a little common courtesy, I feel like. I wouldn't do that. But,
right.
You know, anyways, it was
kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Oh, you guys love Facebook and...
No, I don't really love
Instagram.
Facebook. You know what? Okay, we're on Instagram.
Right.
Instagram is okay. And I know that you're on Instagram a little seldomly, but you
You know, I'm like probably one of the last people that joined Facebook and Instagram. And because I'm really, really a private person. Like, I would use it for professional reasons, which is why I was forced onto it, actually. and I understand
sister.
It. It's by my manager and, my sister, my sister's a master at social media and promotions.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she's really, like, a genius at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to learn more. But it's not within my comfort zone. I like to be out there when I'm performing, and that's where I let down... Like, I totally let all my guards down and
I see.
And transform into whatever it is that I'm doing. And I, you know, I can really put out my bare soul that way. But I think in my private personal life, I'm like really private, and I'm not as comfortable with that. So,
you know what? I think that's a sort of like a virtue to have nowadays.
Right.
Because everyone's just on social media, and you know celebrities, a lot of them are as well. And I feel like it could be not such a great thing because then you kind of take the mystery out.
Right. Oh, exactly.
You know, and as especially if they're actors or even musicians.
Are you guys going to ask me the question during this show about who I admire? Because that would fall right into...
We're
talking about right now.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Really? I'm psychic now. Okay.
Well. Yeah.
No, yeah. Let's go ahead and jump to that. Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead and...
You know, my father was a very much older father, and he was even a different generation than my mother because he was 20 years older than my mother and a very old father for somebody my age. And I was raised on all the old movies, and so I have... you know, that whole era of my father's era is my favorite era. And, you know, before Facebook and when the stars were mysterious and, you know, you didn't know everything about them. And yes. You know, they were real stars. And, yes. You know, I became totally fascinated with Susan Hayward. And just somebody who's way before our time and died before we were even born. She had great talent. She was a bit ahead of her time for her day, a lot like Betty Davis was, where she would play roles that were very raw, like alcoholics.
And oh, I love
people,
Betty Davis.
You know, I admire her too.
She was the only one that had the guts.
Yeah, well, Susan Hayward too. Susan Hayward did
both,
but
yeah.
Susan Hayward was, you know, also had great beauty, and I think that. What I've heard from people that have worked with her is that, you know, she felt like her beauty held her back, but she really did have a few opportunities to really do those raw roles. And so I admired her not just for her talent, and she had that aura like everybody did during that era, but she was a real fighter in her,
yeah,
in her personal life, too. And, you know, she came from nothing and made herself into, like, one of the, you know, biggest stars of her day. And whatever, I guess you could say she felt was not right about herself, she made great. You know, she made lemons into lemonade and,
yeah,
you know, was a real fighter. And so, you know, when I need to fight, I think of her. And but that whole era was not Facebook era.
Yeah,
you know,
it wasn't.
You know,
it wasn't,
no. Yeah. So I really missed. I wish it was more like that now, but I know we're in, you know, it's not my generation, so I sort of have to embrace where we're at now.
Yeah.
But I agree with, you know, using it for business purposes.
Yeah, that's what I use it for.
It's definitely a good thing, like a platform to help you promote, in a
sense.
And a lot of artists, they do use it for that purpose, but there are also people that kind of overuse it, and it's really just silly. You know?
Right.
I know Chameleon isn't really on there. I'm on Facebook seldomly, only like I'll log on once a week,
right?
And sometimes I'll post. I haven't posted much on it, but yeah. You know, it's
all just kind of dying down little by little.
Yeah,
it kind of does, you know, it depends on the people and how they can keep things stimulated with it, but it fades out. I mean, we got so much to kind of go for, to talk about, but I mean, so.
Growing up.
Oh. Tell us a little bit about that, and you know, if you want to get into one of your inspired films by your father, you know.
Well, that's later on.
Yeah.
But growing up Kramer.
Growing up Kramer.
Okay. Well, I was born in Los Angeles. You know, I'm the youngest. You know, like I said, my father was a very much older father, and, you know, when I was around 8, my parents wanted to take my sister and I out of Los Angeles. I may have said this on the first show, by the way, but they didn't want us to grow up in, like, the Beverly Hills mentality, and my father was very, very un-Hollywood, and if I showed any signs of being elitist in any way, he would have, you know, disowned me. He was not about that at all. So, and I think he was more than thrilled to move to Seattle, which is where I had half of my childhood. And where, you know, I was very involved with riding horses. And, you know, my sister was always, you know, the performer, and my mother was an actress. And when I was really young, I did some parts in some, like, TV movies, and, like, I enjoyed that, too, and, but I always wanted my own identity, and when we went to Seattle, I kind of, because I was the youngest, I sort of wanted to forge my own path, and that happened to be being an equestrian and wanting to go to the Olympics, and my father was very involved with me when I was in that part of my life, in horse shows, and it's also where my fascination with classical music began.
Interesting.
Yeah, and but you know, I would say my parents really tried to make our childhood as normal as they possibly could, and I think in a lot of ways it was. But you know, also, I would be lying if I said that, you know, when you do have a parent that's successful in the way that my father was, and even my mother was also very successful, it's not that normal, really. It's not it was because of other people. It's not so much of what was going on in my own home, but it was because of the outside world and their perceptions. And, you know, it just has complications that I think that most people don't understand, because I think people think, wow, this would be the coolest thing, and I'd have this, and I'd have that, and they don't understand the other side of it, you know.
Right.
But, so, I mean, you know, I've had a very interesting, let's say, it's been a very interesting life.
Yeah.
You know, so far.
Yeah.
And
so,
we were just up in Seattle a few months back.
Oh, you were.
And we couldn't help but notice how cloudy it was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, I'm not a sun worshiper, so it does rain. It rains a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot, like every day almost.
It did when we were there, for sure.
But the air was so clean and it was so green and, you know, I have nice memories. I have nice memories.
That's good.
In Seattle, so.
And that's where you spent most of your childhood, right?
Well, half of it was here, and half of it was here in Los Angeles, and then half of it was in Seattle. And
nice.
And so I've been... And I went to school back east, and so I've kind of been around, you know. But
and growing up, you said your father just wanted you guys to grow up as normal as possible, and have a good. It seems like he wanted you guys to have a good head on your shoulders.
Well, definitely, I think they didn't want us to have the value system of, I guess, what they felt Beverly, we lived in Beverly Hills when I was really young, and I guess they felt that what they were observing as far as how kids were growing up and their value system and, and all that was not something that, you know, they wanted to instill in my sister and me. And they wanted us to, you know, well, my father, like I said, was very un-Hollywood, but, you know, they wanted us to be as normal as possible, and, you know, we never had more than one house, you know. We didn't have, you know, my father was definitely not about, you know, possessions and anything, you know, that people would assume if you were raised in Hollywood and had a famous parent. It was actually quite different for my sister and myself. And actually, when we came back to Los Angeles, we were probably more starstruck than most of the people that grew up here. But, you know, I think they did well in that regard, my parents, I think, that I do appreciate, you know, things.
They seem like great parents. Like, I mean, your dad especially, I mean, their ethics and everything just, you know, raised you guys very well. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool.
Well, my father had, both my parents, but yes, you can even see it in his work. You know, he had strong beliefs and, you know, I feel very lucky, but his, you know, work really is a testament to, you know, who he was and how he thought and how he treated people, you know. I really love to hear stories of, you know, how he treated his crew the same as he treated, you know, his star actors. And you know, he really was like that. He was not, he didn't think of himself as... you know, above anybody, and I think he was more comfortable actually with just like, you know, like the people. I remember when we lived in Seattle, we stayed at the Holiday Inn while our house was being remodeled, and he spent so much time there, and he'd get very friendly with everybody. I think he was very comfortable, you know, when we moved to Seattle, and can just be, you know, just a regular person.
Right.
And I think he really was sad when we had to come back to Los Angeles, because my sister and I wanted to be actors, and you know, so but you know, he did it. He was a good father, but he likes Seattle a lot.
He definitely both of your parents wanted to instill real family values.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
Yeah, definitely. And he was always I came much later, after he was retired, but I understand that with some of my other siblings, you know, he was always home at dinner, and you know, he always had, you know, he always wanted to be there, and
yeah.
And so, you know, but I came much, much later, and he was already retired. So I really got lucky as far as that's concerned, because he was not working like he was when some of my, when my oldest sister and brother were kids, you know, he was at the height of his career, so.
And he was known, you mentioned to me, as the in Seattle when you did your horseback riding.
Yeah. Well, you know, like they have stage mothers, you know, we get that horrible, you know, idea of stage mothers. But when I was riding in the horse shows, he was so involved and he would get so emotional, you know. And if he thought that I was going to miss, you know, they'd give an order, like when your number would come up and, you know, you had to do your round, you know. And he gets so nervous and say, "You hurry, hurry, hurry!" You know, I used to embarrass me. I used to be so, be quiet. But he was, you know, very involved, and he used to love to go to the racetrack. So, and I remember you had to be 10 years old to go to Long Acres Racetrack in Seattle, and I was 9, but I was almost approaching 10, and so I remember him telling me, "Now, if they ask you how old you are, tell them you're 10. You know, you're almost 10," and. And so he used to take me to the racetrack, and he used to really love that. And
yeah.
So he enjoyed, I think, my horse phase in life. You know.
And what was his stage name?
Oh God, I don't. I was the horse daddy of of Seattle. I mean, he.
You mentioned the horse show daddy.
Yeah, that's the horse show daddy. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Perfect.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And. Also, when you wanted to go ahead and discuss a little bit of who inspired you, I know you mentioned Jane Fonda growing up was a big influence on you.
Well, I so admire her conviction and her, you know, that she still, even to this day, speaks out on what her convictions are. And I really admire anybody. And she's really put herself on the line and paid the price. Like, she's paid a huge price for what she's believed in. And there's tremendous, you know, bravery in that. And more and more as I become an adult and my reasons for admiring people have changed. You know, I used to admire people, you know, maybe just because they did a great performance or they were, you know, a great actor or you know, great musician. But now, for me, it has to be something more. If they're not, I mean, they have to be something as a human being besides, you know, there's so many great artists and great actors and great musicians and... you know, to admire, and there's just so many. So now I really admire the people that inside stand for something, and you know, Jane Fonda definitely, however unpopular she has been with some people, has never sold out her convictions on her beliefs.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's and also she was a second generation of a very famous actor, Henry Fonda, and she. Is not known as Henry Fonda's daughter. She's known as Jane Fonda. And because, you know, I'm the daughter of somebody, both parents were very successful. You know, I know that path and I know how hard that is to find your own identity. And she's done that. And she also has never given up on learning about herself. She's still at 80, discovering things about herself and learning from her mistakes and also from her life experiences and how it's affected her. And, you know, she's very open about that. Besides being a great star, a great beauty, an exercise guru and everything else, you know, I mean, it's really something. So.
Well, I know you mentioned when you were a little girl, you composed something a song, a piano.
Yes.
Piano song. And
we
actually had to do some digging, and we hope Smithers got this right.
Okay.
I think we have those tapes.
Yeah.
Of what?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, Smithers, can you pull up that file?
Can you go ahead and pull it up, please?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Is this the one? Oh, this is my favorite song.
No, it was,
you didn't do this one?
I didn't do this one.
Oh, you did it.
I might be making a lot of money, though, if I
Okay, wait. We've got a second one. This might be it.
Okay.
This might be it.
Okay.
We had to dig really deep,
okay.
You know, into it. Yeah.
No.
Is that that?
Well, that fits Seattle. So,
it
you know.
Fits Seattle. But, that's where know, he got it mixed
oh
up. Damn
you. Oh, Smithers.
That sounds like a dedication to Seattle, Washington.
Oh, that makes sense.
But not to Jane Fonda.
Okay. Well, no, damn. I'm sure there are a lot better than those two songs.
Well.
So.
Yes. Oh. And now you mentioned that you know, after you moved here from Seattle, mm-hmm. and it was to try to pursue acting.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you did stray away from that, and so now you have ventured on into the musical world of classical.
Well, I've never ventured away from acting or music, actually. I, for some reason, since, you know, I was a very young child, I was always fascinated with classical piano music, and you know, I had a friend in grade school who she was blonde and blue-eyed, and she had these long fingers, like everything I wasn't. Oh yes, she was, and you know, she was Danish and Swedish, and you know, she had blonde hair. I always wanted blonde hair, but as she played the Suzuki Method, and you know, studied piano by the Suzuki Method, and you know, she was like my childhood idol, and you know, I was so fascinated with how she played, and she played Mozart and Bach and Beethoven, and they had these Suzuki books, and I used to make her play the same pieces over and over and over because I just loved it so much.
Yeah.
So I went home. We had like a little little upright piano. It wasn't anything like I have now, you know, but I wanted to be her, so I would spend hours and hours trying to play like her. And it just took way too much time to, you know, I would used to get her, try and find her books that she had, you know, and mm-hmm. then, you know, try and get like the little musical chart and figure out what the notes were and knew them by ear. And but that took way too much time. And it gave way to, you know, me composing my own pieces.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really considered myself a composer. Sadly, I didn't know that you could actually go to school to compose. I don't know why nobody ever told me, but I just was self-taught. And, you know, over time, because I loved it so much, I, you know, just did more and more music. And I would dedicate them to people I admired. And I was kind of known for that. But because I had a background in film and also loved acting and loved portraying characters, you know, I went that route into, you know, to a serious conservatory and trained classically at Carnegie Mellon and back east at the New Actors Workshop with Mike Nichols and Paul Sills. And I had great teachers, and here in Los Angeles with Larry Moss. And I've been blessed, you know, but music was always there. It was something that I never, you know, was always a part of what I wanted to do, but more in the composing area. And then...
And you started off late with that.
I actually was diagnosed with lymphoma at a, you know, fairly young age, and you know, at the time that you're supposed to be forging your career, you know, I was going through, unfortunately, cancer, and you know, going through treatments and losing hair and all that great stuff.
And, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but you know, it was after that that I. After I healed from that, and during that time, I longed, because I had focused so much on acting, I wanted to get back to music. I didn't want to replace acting with music, but I wanted to get back to composing again. And then I ended up, through a friend of mine, meeting this world-renowned concert pianist. And he himself doesn't know why he took me on as a student, because I didn't read any music. But, you know, he doesn't know why. It just seemed like it was fated. It was, like, meant to be, and I got this amazing opportunity to study. And it really did change my life, you know.
Do you want to throw his name out?
First teacher, and I'm not studying with him anymore, was Rufus Choi.
Okay.
And now I'm at UCLA studying with Ina Falix and Dr. Zhao Chen. And they're incredible, and... I mean, all my teachers, I've been blessed in acting and music. I've had incredible teachers, so I'm very grateful. And they're really, I mean, Ina and Zhao are great, great pianists. I mean,
yeah.
And what was one of the main components that really drew you to classical music?
Well, I, you know, it was this childhood friend, and I don't know. It was the way, you know, your how it feels to play was okay. I don't think it's just me, but there's a certain feeling of, you know, when you're
just that
digging into
synergy.
The keys, you know, that yeah. that it's a real, I don't know, it's just a great feeling to me. Mm-hmm. And I've just always I love all different kinds of music, but I classical piano music has just been a lifelong passion, and I'm just thrilled that, you know, even though I had a very dark time having had cancer, I feel mm-hmm. like it was all faded in some strange way, because I would never have...
Would you say that it was part of your recovery?
I think music has been a recovery for me of many things, not mm-hmm. just cancer, but of many things that have happened to me in my life. It's a recovery. Mm-hmm. And just like all the arts, you know... I've been in therapy. It's a whole another subject.
Yeah.
It's a Halloween subject. it's a Halloween show. The things that have happened to me in my pursuit of, you know, I don't know. I have not had good experiences in therapy at all.
Okay? A lot of people don't actually. Yeah, you're not alone.
You're not the only
really
one.
Aren't. No. But we're glad that you were able to, you know, in a sense. Go through the healing process and with music and, mm-hmm. and so forth. I guess maybe that's where you were more drawn to it. You know, sometimes that tends to happen.
Well, I think, the arts, I think, is really a therapy.
Yeah.
That's what is my therapy now, my creative process, my music, acting, even writing now.
Yeah.
Is all very therapeutic.
Exactly.
And now there is a lot of, since you are in the classical world mm-hmm. now, like you mentioned, you did start off a little bit later, and there is a lot of, ageism that we wanted to discuss.
I think for me, and it's staggering, because, I mean, if you wanted to be a classical musician, concert musician, and that's how I train... You know, I feel like I'm just the same as anybody who is training to have a concert career. I mean, I'm in the same training routine. Mm-hmm. I take it every bit as seriously as any musician. But I think for somebody like me, I think that it just doesn't happen. You just don't start. I mean, if you start at 15, they think you don't have a Chinaman's chance in hell of ever doing anything real. You know, I think you're automatically into the amateur category. I mean, they have these categories. They have, you know, the way it's done and...
Put you in a box.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's definitely... There's a way you do it. You're supposed to do it, which is you start very, very young. You know, you like four or mm-hmm. maybe three or four, and you do the competition world, and you go to a major conservatory like Juilliard, and then maybe you have a concert career. And but at the same time, you know, the classical musical world is looking... to how they can become relevant in the world we live in now. And but they want to stay, you know, in this sort of this mold. For me, I started much later than 15, although I was self-taught composing. But so sadly, yes, for me, it's...
Personally experienced... The age discrimination.
Because, you know, they have these categories. I mean, it's heartbreaking to me that I could have such a passion for something and I didn't get the opportunity when I was three or four. I just wasn't led to it at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never went to a classical musical concert. My parents were not into classical music, and I have a lot of siblings who came before me who had a lot of interests, and I didn't get to do that. And
You always discover something at the right time.
You know, I feel a sense that it's meant to be this way.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, it's heartbreaking that I could have such a passion for something and work so hard at it, no different than anybody else who's at the right age, and yet the community of those types of musicians, you know, they don't see me in the same light. I mean, it's just, and it's only because of age. It's only because, you know, I didn't start at the time that they think it's necessary to start.
And that's something that we were discussing a few weeks ago with the ageism in, during our Labor Day special, which can be a little bit more, in a sense, dangerous. Or, right. You know, just it's really unfortunate because it affects just any gender. It's not even, it's beyond sexism.
Right, right.
Which can only be, you know, for example, women are affected by it most likely. But ageism is something that just knows no gender and it just affects everyone. But unfortunately, well, we hope, unfortunately, that's the case, but we hope that you can be, you know, the barrier, that that groundbreaking barrier that you will go ahead and take on head on.
Well, I mean, I put my whole heart and soul into it. I have so much passion for it. I have very interesting ways of performing classical music, which is very much on the pulse of the world, that world even at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It used to really, really bother me. Like, I mean, to the point that I was paralyzed to perform because I felt like, you know, I this is such a passion of mine, and nobody wants, you know, they can't see that I can do this or that I'm wanting to do this, and you know, there's a lot of naysaying, and you know, and now I just don't care as much. I just
there you go. That's the positive.
You know, I have a vision for what I want to do, and I have these great teachers, Ina Falix and Zhao Chen, and you know, so I feel like I'm getting over that now and just pursuing it with my whole heart and soul and the joy of it now again. And but it did really used to bother me a lot, you know.
Well, on that note, we do have since, you know, the ventilator segment.
Well, yeah, you can definitely. I mean, that could be one of them. But we do have a ventilator segment if you do want to join us on that and vent what's on your mind.
Oh,
you
Jennifer.
Know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? It really bothers me. I hate people in positions of power.
Oh, okay. We got it. We are we awesome intro.
Okay.
We got to do.
Oh, great. Okay. Is that new? Did you do that last time?
No way.
I love that. You didn't do that the first time.
It didn't. No. You know what?
That's a nice thing.
We were inspired by the intro for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
She's a big fan. She has all the action figures.
No, I don't have the action figures. But I was a huge fan.
Were you really?
Yes. I would tell my mom, like, after school, come on, Mom. It's about to start. We gotta run. So we would have to, like, run to the house because, you know, back then there was, like, no TV.
Right.
You couldn't record anything.
Well, you know my vent. I'm always venting about traffic, people don't using
traffic.
Their blinkers and things like that.
Rude
but tell
people.
Us about what's on your mind. In 30 seconds.
Okay, 30
seconds.
Well, I don't like people that are in positions of power that abuse it.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't like that one. So that really is one of my pet peeves.
There's a lot going on right now. But you know what? If you look back in history, that's kind of been the thing, which is unfortunate, but thank goodness, you know, for people like your father, who would make he's the icon of message films.
Yeah, he is.
And so he would go ahead and tackle those issues and in his own way, in his own philosophical manner, artistically expose it and try to digest it.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did that.
Yeah.
So that's something that we need more people like that right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need it now more than ever, than we've ever needed it. And I often wonder if my father were alive now and, you know, still making films, what they would be. And, you know, that's a very interesting question.
What film out of all the films that he's done, which film do you think would have be more similar or relate the tone that would relate more to what's going on right now?
Oh, that's a
put her on the spot there, Strange.
Well, if you could think of one.
Well, probably, well, just off the top of my head, actually. He made a film called Bless the Beasts and Children, which dealt a lot with bullying, which, you know, is something that...
Still goes on today,
and, you know, I mean...
Just yesterday kids, I was bullied.
Yeah. And also it was...
By your own dad.
By a girl.
Were you? Not by this one. No. No. But it did deal with bullying and also animal rights, you know, and that's a big thing now, too. I don't know how many films there were during that era that dealt with animal rights, but, you know, that film dealt with those two issues, which I think are very prevalent today.
That's cool.
You know, probably many of his films, it's hard. Yeah. That's the one that comes to my mind, like, right off the bat. And it's not one of his bigger films. But
And that's one of your favorite, or just...
It's hard for me to say what my favorite is.
Yeah. It's hard to say pick a favorite when all of them are her favorite.
Well,
maybe one that maybe inspired you to become who you are today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's even worse. Oh,
that's
man.
Even worse.
When I was a child, I used to love It's a Mad, 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 Mad World because it's, you know, I mean, it's just
yeah.
Such a, and I used to love Guess Who's Coming to Dinner when I was little. And as I became an adult, and I think it was maybe 5 years ago, I hadn't seen it for a long time, but I saw Judgment at Nuremberg, and I just, wow. I mean, as an adult, like, you see things so differently, and I it was such an incredible film. And then some of his smaller films that people don't really know about, I think also I love, like he made a film called A Child is Waiting, which is about disabled children. And Judy Garland plays like a counselor there, and she gets really emotionally involved with one of the children and isn't supposed to. And
yeah.
There's that whole, which I thought was a great film. And
yeah, that
and
sounds
before
great.
I forget, yeah. We will soon... You guys can go ahead and check out the Facebook page, Kramer on Kramer. It will be film reviews with you,
yes,
of course, Jennifer Kramer, giving her take on film. So we're going to go ahead and randomly select them monthly and, you know, have a little show party.
That's
yeah.
Great.
BYOB.
BYOB.
That will be fun. It'll be so fun.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be really fun with you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and start that. The page is already up, you guys. So you can go ahead and check it out on Facebook, Kramer on Kramer. And there's a group. Public group, feel free to join so you guys can stay tuned for that.
We got a goodie bag if you want to pass that down.
There is a goodie bag.
Pick something from the
bag of
BS selection.
Oh, for your vent.
For your vent.
Nice.
There you go.
Dark glasses. I get to keep these?
Yeah, yeah.
You most certainly do.
Yes.
Oh my
yeah.
goodness.
And
they're anti-reflective polarized. What does that mean?
That, yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But we do have someone that has been meaning to
I hope this is who I think it is.
Visit you. Your number
one fan.
Oh, that's right. I expect him here.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go grab him if he's still available out there. He's been waiting for a long time.
Go, ahead. Oh go quick. Go
All
quick.
Right.
Run. Run. Run.
I'm gonna try to see what's going on here.
One of my favorite parts.
He's gonna be right back.
Okay.
Yes. But I'm looking forward to the Facebook page and getting that up and started. I mean, it is already up, but we're definitely going to have lots of fun with that.
We are definitely going to have lots of fun with that.
Yes.
Yes. Lots of fun.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm glad I'm here too.
Yeah. Where can they follow you, our listeners, to hear more about?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I do have a website, but there's going to be a lot more coming soon. But it's Jennifer-Kramer.com. And then I'm on Facebook. You know, it's a lot of projects coming up that I'm hoping.
And you're on Instagram, Jennifer Kramer Music.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I remember that one because I'm on Instagram most of the time.
That's the biggest thing to be on now, not Facebook, but.
Yeah, I mean, off and on, honestly, I kind of just want to go ahead and I like to be on Instagram, just be up to date with what's going on. And projects with the friends have, so I can support. But as far as posting,
I don't post what I had for breakfast. I don't. It's just for me. It's just all career oriented stuff, and or I put little pictures up of my beloved dog that passed away, I put her picture up.
His name was Panda.
Panda Bear. Yeah, it was a girl. Bear. Yeah. Yeah, the love of my life, the Panda Bear.
How old was she?
She was 16 and a half. Yeah.
Well, you're someone that will put a smile on your face.
Okay.
Here. Jennifer Kramer.
Oh, my gosh.
Jimmy Jance is in the studio.
Kramer. You changed your hair. What happened?
I did it just for you.
Oh, my gosh. You look so different. I like this look, though.
I don't know if you can hug her.
Here's my hand, though. Thanks, Jimmy.
It's good to see you again.
I like this new look. It's sort of like buckwheat. There's a little bit of...
I know that he wants to. You came here.
You got my guitar.
Oh, Jimmy Jance, we love to give you a chance, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Go ahead. And play a song. Oh. He wrote a song.
I wrote a song
just for you.
Another one. Oh
yes,
my goodness,
it's
I'm
a different
honored.
One from the previous one.
Wow.
That's right.
Oh.
Go ahead and take a seat right here.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Oh. I hope Chameleon is okay.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to him. Yeah. His loss.
Yeah. You know.
Did you have caffeine today?
I did. Okay. I did have quite a bit, actually. All right.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Here we go.
Nice.
Anytime now.
He's enjoying himself.
Everyone needs a Kramer. It'll make you feel alright. If you forget to pay her, I'll comfort you at night. Put your hand over your heart. Let them play. Oh, I messed up. Put your hand over your heart. Let her play the piano part. This is when you finish and she'll start. Everyone wants to be her.
Really?
She's Jennifer Kramer.
I think he wants to be
her. You wish you could play her. Tough Teddy, she's the only one. Jennifer Kramer. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. I got another one.
No.
I got
no.
Okay.
We got to get Chameleon back in here.
All right.
Thank
you, Jimmy. Thank you.
So all right. Oh, jeez. Jimmy Jance, everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
Jimmy
thank
Jance.
You. Appreciate it. Oh, it's good to see you. Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
He looks so different than the first time.
He looks very different indeed.
Did he give himself a permanent? Or
a perm?
Yeah, a perm. I don't remember his hair ever being that curly.
Yeah, he looks...
And the hat, I love it.
I hope Chameleon
like a Western
is going to be
all
right. That's very funny. Yeah, well, he's your number one fan.
Oh, my goodness.
Jimmy Jance, and we love to give him a chance here.
That's
in the
right.
Studio.
He deserves it.
He does. It's from the heart.
It is. It's very important.
Yes. Have you ever had a fan like that, an encounter?
Never. I had no idea anybody wanted to be anything remotely like me. I had no clue. No clue.
Yes, he's a little creepy. We try to keep him away from you, but nothing will happen to you.
Okay. I trust him. Oh, he's sweet. He's sweet.
We're going to go ahead and wrap this up in a few minutes or in the next minute or so.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yes.
You guys are so much fun.
It's so great to call you a friend.
It is really great to call you both friends.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So kind. Aww. So kind.
I got stuck in some quicksand, believe it or not,
but my goodness.
I guess it's that time.
It is that time.
Oh, man. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Jennifer Kramer, for having us all, coming on to our show.
For having us. It's her show now, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on your show.
Thank you, Strange Chameleons.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all for listening
Always
to the
fun.
Strange Chameleon Show. Remember, if music is your passion, jam on!
Have a strange night and have strange dreams.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.